Carl glanced at the pile of mail on the counter. Her name was Sandra E. Ballesteros, and the date stamped on the envelopes was 6 days ago. To Carl, that amount of time lapse was a considerable advantage for the murderer. He looked at the contents of her wallet spread across the counter, then glanced back toward the torso. She was a real looker. Was this a crime of passion? It had all the landmarks of being personal. There was still blood in her head and neck when she was killed. No one would have sat still while their neck was being hacked. He went back to the body on the couch. The victim's arms were bent toward her lap and hidden under her head. She was coated in dried blood. The disturbance of the law enforcement team moving around in the living room had the flies worked up. When one of the evidence techs picked up the head, Carl was shocked to see cuts on her hands. She must have fought her assailant with everything she had. His belief was that the person or persons who attacked Sandra suffered some injuries during the murder. Along with all his other notes, Carl wrote, "Check for anyone seeking medical help for a knife wound." "She fought like a tiger," the new photographer said. Carl looked at the tag hanging from his collar. Nelson LaCrosse was emblazoned in red. "So Nelson," Detective Hansen asked, "any ideas on the weapon?" "Well, it wasn't serrated, like a steak knife. It was very thin, too thin to be a hatchet, or an axe, or a machete."
"Why do you say that?"
Nelson pointed to her neck. "You see those hack marks below the separation where she was hit? It's not part of the decapitation." He was speaking rhetorically as he kept pointing and talking. "Those strikes are not real deep, and they're kind of skinny. They look thin, not something with heft or width. It may have been a knife from the kitchen. I think she was attacked from behind, bleeding from the first strike to her neck, and then she spun and started fighting. That first hit probably struck something major, and while she was fighting, she bled out." Carl nodded. He liked this new guy.
"I'm Carl Hansen." The two men shook hands with their gloves on.
Sarah Dumbarton, a junior detective, came in and stood next to the two men. They both nodded, acknowledging her presence. She stared at the hands and the missing head. Forensics had bagged her head and put it in a cooler.
"Jesus," she said. "She didn't give up easy."
Carl said, "Sarah, this is Nelson, the new photographer. He pointed out that the weapon has a thin blade and not much heft to it." Sarah squatted and pulled out her penlight and shone it on the victim's hands.
"I see what you mean. Not real deep and not too wide."
"Got it," one of the evidence guys yelled. From behind the couch, he held up a large ceramic knife. The blade was green with a stainless handle. The cutting edge looked metal.
"What kind of knife is that?" Carl asked.
"Ceramic," Sarah answered. "People swear by them. I think it's a fad. I have a stainless knife that slips in and out of a sheath that sharpens it each time I use it. It's fantastic." The weapon had a 10-inch blade. A paring knife, it wasn't. There was no blood on the handle or on the cutting edge. It looked like it was washed and dried and tossed under the apron of the couch.
Tom, something or other, the forensics guy that found the knife and was bagging it, said, "They left it for us. Somebody thinks they're brilliant."
Sarah said, "That's scary.